All right.
Well, Sister Lori's got most of our stuff set up on the sermon audio and got us hooked up on there. And so if you want to go and listen to me again, you can go you can go on there. You're like, what did he say now? And go back and look at it, and you can tell me what I said. But it is loaded up now. I'm very thankful for that, thankful for all of her, Jonathan's work on that, getting all of our stuff together in regards to our website and all of the online presence that we have. They've worked really hard in getting all that set up. I'm very thankful for that. It took a burden off of me, and it's a big burden because I don't know what in the world I'm doing on it. So it was a big blessing for me that they are able to take care of those things for us. And so they've got all that situated now, and we're able to start downloading those sermons to that. And so I checked it the other night just to get on it and make sure that everything seemed to be all right as far as recording and so on. Everything seems to be all right. It's just got my voice on it, is all. So if you can't change your voice on that recorder to make it sound like something else. So, but anyway, they've got all that stuff situated for us, and very thankful for that. We'll turn your Bibles this morning to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. We've been looking at, over the last couple of weeks, in regards to our Lord's work for us. We looked at His foreknowledge from Romans 8. We looked at His calling us to Himself briefly in John chapter 6. And then today I want us to consider how the very working of that salvation as He brings it to pass in us, from Ephesians chapter 2, as Paul describes this for us here in this passage. It's a wonderful passage of Scripture. Paul speaks to this. He describes the foreknowledge and the working of God from eternity in Ephesians chapter 1 as well, as we looked at several of those verses last week. As he describes these things in our Lord's work for us, and then he takes up in chapter 2 and begins to describe how this plays out to us. This very eternal working of God, of bringing salvation to us, how it is brought to pass to us as individuals. And he gives us quite a bit of doctrine here in these few verses of Ephesians chapter 2. You get these first 10 verses there. It's absolutely chock full. And so I want us to look at that today, and we'll move through some of it quickly, and we may not hit all of it. Then again, we may spend just the whole time on the first four verses. I don't know how we're going to work it out today, but we're going to look at these things, Lord willing, as we look at this passage of Scripture. Paul begins here in verse 1 and says, You hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in time past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. But God, who is rich in mercy, for His great love wherewith He loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we continue on in our study this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you again for this day. We thank you, Father, for your great grace. We thank you, Father, for this and other opportunity to meet together with your saints again this morning, to gather together in your house as we look to your scriptures, as we look to your word, as we see these things in regards to our salvation and what you've accomplished for us and the very working of that grace in us. And we praise your name for the work that you've accomplished on our behalf and that you are continually accomplishing for us. Father, we pray that you'd help us, that we might honor your name this day. Help us to lift up the name of Christ Jesus above all other names. Forgive us of our many sins, our many shortcomings, and how easily it seems, Father, that we fail you. And help us to ever be found a faithful people before your name. Go with us now as we look to your word. Bless each soul that's come this way, that our hearts and our minds might be turned toward you this day. And Father, for those many that are unable to be with us, we pray that you would be with them, that you'd give them that which they have need of this day. Strengthen them, we pray. Give them what they have need of physically and spiritually this morning. Go with us now, we pray, as we look to your word. Again, help us to worship you in spirit and in truth. For we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, Paul here, he states with all assurance that these he is writing to had truly experienced Christ. Now, Paul had been with this church. He had witnessed this working of God in them as a church. You can read there in the book of Acts, his time with them. And he, as he speaks to them here, he describes that work of Christ in their lives. He says there in verse 1, "And you have he quickened." You, he says, God has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead in trespasses and sins. That word dead is the Greek word nekros. And it means dead. Not a light form of death, not a sickness unto death, not real close, not hardly dead, but almost dead. No, it's dead is what the word nekros means. Dead in trespasses and sins. He says that it goes on to describe there in verse 2 and 3 that this is the condition of all mankind. He says, "Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." And we were talking last week about the foreknowledge of God, the fact that God is known us from eternity past, that this is a reality that we have in him by his grace. He's chosen us unto himself. This work that took place, and it's again, we, as a marker of time for us, it took place before the foundations of the world. It was from eternity that God has known these things in regards to his people. But he describes us here, even though we are chosen of God in his grace, even though it is from eternity past that he has accomplished that election and that knowledge of us, even though that is from eternity, We see the working of it in our own lives, and we see here as Paul describes us in verse 1, 2, and 3 there, first of all, he says, we were dead in trespasses and sins. We were, if you've been saved today, you know, if Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, you know today that you are elect of God. That God has chosen you unto himself. That's what the scriptures declare to us. But there was a time, despite the reality that you are elect of God, there was a time that you were dead in trespasses and sins. Now, he says here in verse 1, he's describing this church at Ephesus, as you have he quickened or made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. This quickening, this making alive, is not an enlightening. In other words, he just didn't open your mind and suddenly, oh wow, I see something now I didn't see before. It's not just an enlightening. It's not an awakening out of sleep. It's not a fanning of a spark of divinity in you. There are many that claim, well, there's this little spark of divinity, this little bit of goodness in us all, and when the time is right and we hear the things that are soothing to our souls, that spark is fanned in us and grows up into a flaming fire. That's not at all scriptural, and it's not what this word quickening is. We were dead in trespasses and sins, and being dead in trespasses and sins, by the working of God for us, he made us alive where once there was only death. He gave life to us, and he gave life to us when we were dead in trespasses and sins, when we were walking according to the course of this world. And that's the remarkable thing. That's the thing that seems that is so hard for many to grasp when they begin to consider the salvation that is in Christ Jesus. They begin to look at themselves. They begin to look at their own sins. They begin to look at their own failures in their lives. They begin to see these things that they have done against, the many trespasses that they have accomplished against the very person of God. And they say, how can God save me when I've done all of this? Look at all that I've failed him in. Look at all that I've done. Look at all of my sins that are. How can he forgive me of all of these things? The remarkable thing about that is the fact that him knowing you were going to do all of those things has chosen you from eternity past unto himself. Knowing my failures, knowing how short I would come of his glory, knowing the very sins that would be in my life, he chose me anyhow. Not because of something that I would do, but because of his own good pleasure, knowing the very failures and wickednesses and the lust and the sins that are a part of me. And that in that he would redeem me anyhow. Wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature, even being chosen of God, even being known of him from eternity, we were by nature, our very hearts, the very life that we were living was by nature the same as the children of wrath. We likewise, because of our transgressions, because of our trespasses, deserve hell, deserve His judgment. Then he says, verse 4, but God, the sweetest phrase in all of the Scripture. But God. And every time it's used, it is describing the wickedness of man. But God. His intervention. Man could do nothing for himself. You and I could not save ourselves. We know now, by God's grace, because He has quickened us in Christ Jesus, we know now I'm elect of God. By His grace, He's chosen me to Himself. But it is by absolutely nothing that I have done. It is not anything that I deserve. It is all of God, who is rich in mercy for His great love wherewith He loved us. God intervenes on our behalf and accomplishes for us salvation in the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. For He is rich or abounding in mercy. Psalms 136, 26 times in Psalms 136, that phrase is repeated. His mercy endureth forever. His mercy endureth forever. 26 times. He is rich in mercy. Because of His great love, or for His great love wherewith He loved us. Our God is the only God whose love is spoken of. Worshippers, for instance, of Allah speak of His mercy. But nowhere in the Quran, nowhere in the teachings of Muhammad is His love ever mentioned, because he's a false God. He don't have no love. He don't have any mercy, for that matter. Our God is the only the God that's ever mentioned, the God of love. He is the only living God, but only His love is ever mentioned among the gods of this world. Our God is rich in love. He is the embodiment of love, and He has exercised that love toward us, His people. We may find ourselves in the condition of verses 2 and 3, but God, who is rich in love toward His people, intervenes and quickens our dead spirits in Christ Jesus, that we might have everlasting life. Now, His love is not what saves us. Understand that. His love is not what saves us. His love prompts His mercy to provide salvation for us. That salvation is not free either. It's free to us. But it was purchased. It was bought. And that salvation that was bought for us took the greatest of prices to pay for it. And that is the blood of our Lord Jesus. Our sin debt was paid by Christ, as our Father intervened for us, but God. Now Paul describes that we are quickened, who are dead in trespasses and sin. even though we were just like the rest of the world, there was no mark of difference in us as far as who we were or how we lived or how we served. There was nothing in us different than everybody else. Our nature was just like their nature. We were just like them. And in regards to the old man, we're still just like them. It's still there. Just now we have a new man in us that fights against that old man. But he says there in verses 2 and 3, describe, even though we are like everybody else, we're just like the world. We are sinners by nature, condemned. But God intervened for us. And having intervened for us, quickened us. He says in verse 5, even when we were dead, the ends hath quickened us together with Christ. Made us alive with Christ. He says in Romans 5 and verse number 8, as Paul's describing this work, Romans 5 and verse 8, he says, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We have here the verb hath quickened. Hath quickened. Which is understood in verse number 1 that he is addressing you. But here in verse number 5, Paul adds himself. He says, and hath raised us, or I'm sorry, verse 5, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Paul adds himself to this reality of salvation. He's speaking there in verse 1 as he's telling them what's taking place on their behalf as the church at Ephesus here. We get to verse number 5, he adds himself. This is what happens to all of us that are in Christ. This is the reality for all of God's people. It's not just the reality for this church at Ephesus. It's the reality for all of us. We all find ourselves, just as he says there in verses 2 and 3, and if you're redeemed today by the Lord Jesus Christ, if indeed he is your Lord and Savior, it is because God has intervened on your behalf. It is because he has redeemed you by his grace. As he would say there in verse number 5 and 6. Even when we were dead. Again, that word necros. That simply means corpse. Corpse. Lifeless. Oh, how great a salvation that our Lord has given unto us, that has brought us from death unto life. Paul shows that contrast here. From whom we are in ourselves, as he says there in verses 2 and 3, and now who we are in Christ. Made alive. For once we were dead in trespasses and sins, and you hath he quickened. Even when we were dead in sins, he says, hath quickened us together with Christ. That quickening is associative in Christ. It's not that he makes us alive apart from Christ. We are made alive with him. It's the work that he has done. It's not just an example that he has given. It is the very payment itself. It is the very working of salvation for us. And so when we are raised in raised to new life, when we are quickened to life, it is always in Christ, always with Christ. It is not apart from Him. It cannot be apart from Him. And so it is associated with Him. He died, was buried, was resurrected literally, and in Him we are reckoned before God to have experienced the same thing spiritually in Christ. And we show this outwardly. We show this outwardly, what has been done in us inwardly. We show this outwardly in the act of baptism, showing that we are now identified with Christ, having died with Him, having been raised again to walk in newness of life with Him. All of it is with Christ Jesus, this work of salvation. In Colossians chapter 2, verse number 13, Paul says here in this passage, "And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses." Hath He quickened together with Him. This action of quickening is performed on us based upon no action, no belief, no will of our own, no power in us. But instead, this quickening is accomplished all of unmerited favor. By grace ye are saved. By grace ye are saved. Verse 6, he says, "As this grace operates in us, He hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." Raised us up together, or roused us in company with, and then made us sit together, give us seat in company with. Raised us up together, made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. He's given us life where once was only deadness and trespasses and sin, the life that we do not deserve. He's given us a position, a fellowship, a relationship with the very Creator Himself. And that's done past tense, that we might have a heavenly place, a heavenly seat. These are our seats now, though we are still in this flesh. We have this fellowship now. We have this place now, and we've not yet been able to sit in it. You see, I've said this many times before, it would have been enough. It would have been enough for Him just simply to forgive us our sins and to save us. But He doesn't do just that. He doesn't stop with just the forgiveness of our sins. He makes us His own. He calls us His children. He gives us an eternal home in His presence. He makes us heirs and joint heirs with the very One who gave all of Himself to accomplish this grace for us. My friends, that's grace.
That's wondrous, wondrous grace. For we do not deserve anything. Our Lord has worked for us. God's eternal purpose toward us in salvation is a wonderful and glorious work. He is worthy of all praise that we can pour out, for we are undeserving of these blessings. That in the ages to come, He might show the exceeding riches of His grace in His kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. There is an age that the world is in now. It's called in the Scripture the age of the Gentiles. That is the time frame, the reference that we are in now, but it is nothing like the coming ages that are on the way, in which our Savior shall reign. In this day He'll show forth the exceeding riches of His grace toward us. And in these ages to come, we will be glorifying His name and praising Him for what He has done for us in Christ Jesus. And in these ages to come, for all eternity, we'll boast in the wonders of our God. It will be eternally revealed, the working of God toward us from eternity past. That's going to be one of the wonders of glory when we are able to look into, when we are able to see all the things that God worked to bring to pass His very plan for us as individuals. All that he accomplished, all that He worked to bring His grace to pass in us. Paul says again in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 15, "This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on Him to life everlasting. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen." The mercy of this grace in Christ Jesus is indeed so wonderful that He would save the chiefest. That He would save the chiefest of sinners. None can say, "My sin is too great for God to save." For His salvation is so much greater than all of my sin. And for so great a salvation, how can we not praise Him eternally? It is indeed wondrous that God would commission Paul to write such words, knowing that His people
would deplore the wretchedness of their sin. But knowing no matter how awful, no matter how numerous those sins may be, they are washed away in the blood of Christ Jesus our Lord. And so he says in verse 8, For by grace are ye saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. An old preacher, Brother Terry Penix. Brother Terry was pastoring in Cairo, Illinois several years ago. He was preaching this chapter on grace. There were several kids from the community that Brother Terry would pick up and bring to church with him. And he brought them all to church one night, and he's on the way to church, and he told them, he said, "Kids, tonight after church, we're going to stop and get us some ice cream." And the kids were all excited about that ice cream, and they were talking about what flavors they were going to get and so on. He said, "It's just all keyed up." And they got to church, and he got up, and he was preaching on grace. He's preaching from this chapter, the wonders of God's grace. And little Cody was sitting right in the front pew, and he could not get off his mind that ice cream he was going to get, and he was whispering to the boy beside him, talking to the whole service. Brother Terry said, "I called him down from the pulpit 3 or 4 times. Cody, hush. Cody, be quiet." He said, "Finally, I got fed up," and he said, "That's it. We're not going to get ice cream." And he said, immediately, he said, "I was convicted. I told those kids we was going to get ice cream. I got to go get ice cream." And he said, at the end of service, he said, "I told him." He said, "Well," he said, "look, I told y'all we're going to get ice cream. We're going to go get ice cream." He said, "I can't take that from you." But he said, "Here's the deal. All you other kids that behave, you're going to get 2 scoops apiece." He said, "Cody, you only get one." Well, they got to the ice cream store. And Cody was the last one in line. And he got up there to get his ice cream. Brother Terry said he got that 1 scoop. And Cody grinned. He went to lick it on that ice cream. He looked over at Brother Terry and he said, "Brother Terry, this is grace, ain't it? This is grace, ain't it?" He said, "That little rascal heard every word that I had said that night." He said, "I broke down, started crying." "But yeah, that's grace, Cody. You didn't deserve it, but you got some anyway." It is not anything that you have done. It is not your good intention of what you will do. It is not what you can do. For we are dead without Christ, outside of Him. We are dead in trespasses and sins. A dead man can do nothing for himself. He can't even pray. There has to be a quickening that comes in the heart of an individual. There has to be a life given before he can do anything. And that life is given to us by God. "And you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." And even the quickening, he says, verse 8, "and hath raised it," I'm sorry, verse 8, "for by grace are you saved through faith." That grace is accomplished, that grace is brought in, that faith, that believing that is accomplished in us, "for by grace are you saved through faith." But even that faith, it's not something we have in ourselves. He says, "And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God." So even the ability to believe is the working of God's grace.
Amen.
It's the working of His grace. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Romans 5, verse number 20, Paul says here, Romans 5 and verse 20, he says, "Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. The very purpose of the law is to show us our sin. The more we see the law, the more we read the law, the more we look into the law, the more we see how much we sin. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace did much more abound." Grace did much more abound. His grace is greater than all the sin. Marvelous grace of our loving Lord. Grace that extends our sin and our guilt yonder on Calvary's Mount outpoured. There where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Marvelous grace, infinite grace, grace that is greater than all our sin. Such glorious grace, such favor toward us, paid for by Christ Jesus alone. By Him alone. Not by anything that we have done. For if it was anything that I have done or anything that you have done that accomplished that salvation for you, you would be bragging about it. That's what Paul says there in verse 9. Not of works, lest any man should boast. And how would that be in an eternity of glory, listening to everyone brag about how they got there? "Well, you did this, I did that. This is what I did. This is the works I've performed. This is what I've done. Look at this great big pile of stuff that I brought with me." If there was anything at all, friends, that we could brag on in ourselves, we would do it. But it's not of anything that we've done. It is all of grace. All of grace. So that all that we can boast in, the only thing that we can boast in is Christ. Look at what my Savior. Look at what my Savior has done. For we are His workmanship. For we are His workmanship. That word workmanship is the word poema. It's where we get our word for poem. God's creative work in us. He makes us, fabricates us into something else that we were not before. Where once we were dead in trespasses and sins, He has quickened us. But it's not just a making alive. He's created us in Christ Jesus. He's made us a part of Christ, you see. Everything that Christ Jesus has done, He's done for us. He's accomplished on our behalf. And we are reckoned by God to have gone through, experienced all of that with our Lord. We are His workmanship. And he has created us in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them, or hath before prepared. Involves the idea of a previous determination or an arrangement beforehand for securing a certain result. Not only does he save us fully and completely by grace through faith, but also has planned for each one of his children to perform certain works and services that will bring glory to the name of the Lord, the one who has shed upon us all so great grace. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works. Lest any man should boast. Do you know Christ Jesus today? Do you know that he is your Lord? Do you know that he is your Savior? Do you know your sins are washed in his blood? Repent and believe on him this day. For it is only by his grace that you're able to repent. It is only by his grace that you're able to believe. For he is the one that gives the faith. Repent and believe on him this day. Let's all stand. Brother Frank, would you bring us a song?